Our first reading is Psalm 27 and can be found on page 563 of the Blue Bibles. Psalm 27 of David. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked advance against me to devour me, it is my enemies and my foes who will stumble and fall. Though an army besiege me, my heart will not fear. Though war breaks out against me, even then I will be confident. One thing I ask of the Lord, and this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. For in the day of trouble, he will keep me in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent and set me high on a rock. Then my heart will be exalted above the enemies who surround me. At his sacred tent, I will sacrifice with shouts of joy. I will sing and make music to the Lord. Hear my voice when I call, Lord. Be merciful to me and answer me. My heart says of you, seek his face. Your face, Lord, I will seek. Do not hide your face from me, and do not turn your servant away in anger. You have been my helper. Do not reject me or forsake me. God is my saviour. Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Teach me your way, Lord. Lead me in a straight path because of my oppressors. Do not hand me over to the desires of my foes, for false witnesses rise up against me, spouting malicious accusations. I will remain confident of this. I see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Abby and Phyllis. Friends, do turn to that Psalm 27 reading. We'll be looking at that. And let's pray again before we consider those words. Our Lord God, we thank you for these words, that they are true. They're not just wishful thinking. You are our light. You are our salvation. You are the stronghold of our life. We pray as we consider these words now, you might help us to see them, to understand them, to be comforted and encouraged by them, to increase our faith in Jesus, in whose name we ask this. Amen. So there are different songs for different moods and moments. I think we know this. There are even more than just songs, different playlists, collections of songs that we use for different times. In recent month, you'll have spent time on a playlist which you wouldn't use at any other time of the year. You'll have had your Christmas playlist, listening to your Christmas songs and Christmas carols, whether or not you enjoyed it. That's been the music that's been going on round. But there are other times and seasons and moods and moments when we have different songs, different music that we like to listen to. So if you're someone who likes to exercise, and if you're someone who likes to listen to music while you exercise in order to give you the gumption to keep on going, there may be particular songs you listen to. Or you might have songs which you listen to help you focus at work, or songs which you have when you have hospitality, when friends come over for dinner and you put this music on in the background, or you're going on a road trip and you like to listen to while you drive. There'll be songs, music that you like to listen to when you're in a happy mood and an excited mood, and other music for when you're in a sad and melancholy mood. We have this, don't we? We like to connect music and moment and music and mood. And for those of you who use Spotify, I don't have a Spotify account, but for those of you who do, you'll be used to getting at the end of each year Spotify Wrapped, a summary, an overview of your listening habits for the year that's been. And if you're someone who's had this, or imagine if you were able to have this, I wonder what type of year it would have shown that you've had. Has it been a year spent in the car? Has it been a year spent exercising? Has it been a year full of happy moments and excited moments, or full of sad and melancholy moments? Has it been full of variety? Has there been a dominant theme? What's your Spotify Wrapped? At the risk of sounding very cringy and cliche, the Book of Psalms, friends, I like to think of as God's Spotify Wrapped. It's got songs for many different occasions and many different moods and moments. And for these next 4 weeks, we'll be looking at some of these psalms, this book, 150 of them collected together. Wonderful. Songs of praise and rejoicing, songs of sadness and complaint and lament. Songs for communities to sing together and songs for individuals to express their trust. And all of these songs are grounded in the nature and character of God. What God is like is why we can sing. Why we can sing to express our trust or to express our joy or to express our sadness and our complaints even. It's because of who God is that we can sing these songs in the Psalms. And as well as these Psalms being grounded in who God is, they're also grounded in who Jesus is and what Jesus has done. For Jesus is someone who, you could say, sang these psalms. He sang these psalms as a Jew 2,000 years ago, but he did more than that. He fulfilled them. He lived them. What they spoke of, what they promised, Jesus fulfilled. And so these are Jesus' words. But ultimately, these are God's words for our words. God's words given to us that we might speak to him. Words written by people like King David over a long period of time, fulfilled in Jesus, so that we might speak to God, we might sing to him, and that is grounded in God's nature, his character, what he's like, and in who Jesus is and what he's done, how he's fulfilled God's promises. And these four psalms, which we'll be looking at for the next few weeks, are psalms about this one true God. The psalms which talk about what God is like, and then reflect on what it means to respond to him. Today we're looking at Psalm 27 and considering what it means to be confident in the one true God. Next week, Psalm 33, praise the one true God. After that, Psalm 115, give glory to the one true God, not to ourselves, not to others. Then the week after that, Psalm 121, look to the one true God. And I've just summarized those for you, but please do still come along for those next few weeks. Today we're looking at Psalm 27. And if you're allowed to have favorites, then, well, this would be my favorite. I remember the first time I read this psalm, or I remember the first time the psalm made itself known to me. I was on a camp 16 years ago-ish, and worrying about different things going on back home, and verse 1 just hit me straight between the eyes. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? I was so encouraged by these words. Words given to me for me to hold on to, words given to me to say to myself, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Who God is, my light, my salvation, my stronghold. What that means for me, I shall not be afraid. Such incredible words. Powerful, beautiful, wonderful. But this psalm is not my psalm, even though it says of David at the top. This is King David's psalm. David from the Old Testament, the king of Israel, the ancestor of Jesus, one who was promised that there would be a son who would rule on his throne forever. David, whose life is being described here and whose faith is being described here, who spoke of his experiences in many, many psalms. But then when we read this psalm and we read what it talks about, you can't quite match up to a particular event in David's life where this happened. Because as much as many of David's psalms say, oh, this is when he was on the run from Saul, or this is when he had committed adultery with Bathsheba, many of them actually speak of stuff we don't really know about and speak beyond David. As at Pentecost, the Apostle Peter said, David was a prophet. Psalm 16, David talks about resurrection, not being abandoned to the grave, and Peter says, well, his tomb's just round the corner, you can go visit it. But David was a prophet. He was speaking about the Messiah. And so we can have the same mindset as we read the Psalms of David, that he's not just speaking about himself. These are not just David's words. As I said, these are Jesus' words. And we can see, as we'll look, that these are Jesus' words, words that Jesus lived out. As we read about this suffering, when we think of the suffering of Jesus, as we read about that single-minded, steadfast faith, we think about the single-minded, steadfast faith of Jesus. So these are words which are David's words, which become Jesus' words, fulfilled by him, even greater because Jesus is the light and the salvation, as we read from John chapter 1. He's more than just an example of one who has faith. He is the one to have faith in. And because of that, these are God's words for us too, our words for God. they can become our words, that we can express our trust, our confidence in him. They are words from God through David in Jesus that become our words. And so the way we're going to be thinking about it today is to look at this psalm, how that might become our words, that we might be confident in the one true God. First of all, being confident despite present trouble, and secondly, being confident in future glory. Sorry, what's happened for the slides there, but I'm still sure you can still read it. Be confident despite present trouble. Look again at verse 1. David says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" Wonderful questions, and very obvious what the answer to those questions is as well. No one. I shall fear no one. Can't be afraid of anyone because of who the Lord is. He's my light, he's my salvation, he's my stronghold. I should fear no one. Very confident words. And does that therefore mean that we should feel bad about ourselves now? So I'm pretty sure every single person in this room has things that they're afraid of. Times when they're really worried and really anxious. People, situations, events that we're really worried about. And as we read these words, are we supposed to feel convicted as though, I am so faithless. I can't say these words because I'm afraid all the time. It's very easy for us to wrap ourselves up in knots and to guilt ourselves as we read this. But friends, please, not at all. Why do you think David is saying these words? Is he not afraid? Is he not saying these words because he's afraid? Well, think about the things he had going on in a moment. Why would these words be here in the Psalms if they were not given for people who are afraid? These aren't just here to express fearlessness and confidence. They're here to inspire fearlessness and confidence so that these words can become our words when we are afraid. So don't beat yourself up because you're worried about things or because you're afraid. Use these words to encourage you, as David does. The present trouble, which is spoken about here, is quite fearful. You look at verses 2 and 3, he talks about wicked people advancing against him, kind of animalistically seeking to devour him. Speaks about enemies and foes, speaks about an army besieging him, speaks about war breaking out against him. Feel like he might be protesting too much or overplaying it, but he is in a terrible situation. He's terribly afraid. Look then at verses 10 to 12. He speaks about parents, the closest family relations, the most reliable, most loving, even them forsaking him. Speaks in verse 11 about oppressors. Verse 12, foes. False witnesses, people spouting lies, malicious accusations against him. It's a terrible situation. It's a fearful situation. And can't you hear the fear of David? And it's in that when he's saying, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear?" He's speaking words of confidence. But what is this confidence grounded in? As I say, it's grounded in the nature of God, what he is like. Verse 1, "The Lord is my light. There is no darkness that can overcome him. The Lord is my salvation. There is nothing from which I cannot be rescued. The Lord is the stronghold of my life. There is no power that can overcome this stronghold, nothing that can break him down." It is because of who God is that David is confident. You see it again in verse 5. "In the day of trouble, he will keep me safe in his dwelling. He will hide me in the shelter of his sacred tent. He will set me high upon a rock. God is my refuge. I find safety in him." And that is why David can be so confident. He's not confident in himself. He's not confident because he thinks he's strong enough or he'll be able to deal with things. You see that even in verse 7, when he's calling to the Lord, he says, "Be merciful to me. I don't deserve this. Be merciful to me. I'm in this situation. Lord, I'm trusting in you. My confidence is in you and in your mercy, not in my skill, not in my intellect, not in my way to get out of a situation." David's confidence is in God and in God alone. God is his savior, as verse 9 says. God is his helper, as verse 9 says. David's focus is on God. And you see this focus in verses 4 to 6. The single-minded faith that David has. "One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek." What is David after? "That I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple." David wants to be with God. He wants to see God. That is his single-minded desire. That's what he says to himself. Verse 8, there's a little mantra he's saying to himself. My heart says of you, seek his face, seek his face. David, seek the Lord. And that is what he's telling himself. His desire is God. His greatest concern is to be with God. And so, as you look at verses 9 to 12, you can see that his greatest worry or fear is beyond all his present troubles that he's going through. His greatest worry is actually being separated from God. Verse 9, do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. Do not reject me or forsake me. David's greatest concern is to be with God. That is what he desires. He is what he desires, and he doesn't want to be apart from him. Despite all the armies and enemies and false witnesses and everything, his greatest concern is being separate from God. But he's not desperate as he says that. Even as he says those words, he says, you have been my helper, you are my savior. David is confident. Even if his father and mother did forsake him, the Lord never would. The Lord is faithful. David is confident in God's goodness, despite his present trouble. So these words are David's words. And as I say, they are Jesus' words, words that Jesus lived and fulfilled. As we read about this figure being rejected and lied about and attacked, we think of Jesus, who was given over to his enemies. Those malicious accusations did go somewhere. He was, in effect, devoured. But Jesus, who himself was faithful to the end, did not give in to the fear of those who threatened him. He kept on trusting in the Lord. Jesus lived these words. He fulfilled these words. And he is the object of our faith too. The Lord is my light and my salvation. John chapter 1, Jesus is the light who comes into the world, and darkness will not overcome him. Jesus' words, therefore, are words. We can be confident too, friends. We can be confident as we trust in Jesus, despite whatever present trouble we face. As we look to the year ahead and worry or wonder about what's going to happen in 2024, know this, you can be confident in the Lord. Nothing that happens will take you from him. He is a stronghold that cannot be overcome. How might we be confident in him this year? And the type of confidence that this is talking about is something which is entirely different and actually far better than the way that we try to give ourselves confidence when we are afraid or when we are worried about things. I imagine for many of us, when we are worried about something or someone we love is worried about something, our natural response is to say, don't worry, I'm sure she'll be right. I'm sure it won't happen. Or, if there's a chance it might happen, don't worry, just do this and then it won't happen. But what sort of confidence is that? Are we really in control? Can we really just say things won't happen and therefore they won't? Wouldn't want to bring the mood down, but 2024 could be a terrible year for many of us in this room. We don't know. The sudden diagnosis, the difficult changes at work, the loss of friendships, the loss of loved ones. We're not in control of those things. And so if we just had a don't worry, she'll be right attitude of confidence, the rug's going to be pulled out from under our feet. But the confidence that we see here is not a don't worry, she'll be right. It's a don't worry, even if it does happen, even if we can be confident. Even if, as he says, my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me. Even if we get attacked, even if people make lies about us, the Lord is good. He is a stronghold. He will save us. He will keep us safe. There is no present trouble that can take away from us our future glory and the goodness of God. We can trust in him with an even if confidence rather than a she'll be right confidence. So keeping that in mind, let us think about our second point. Be confident, therefore, in future glory. Look to the end of Psalm 27, verses 13 and 14. I said that verse 1 was very powerful and beautiful to me, probably eclipsed by these two verses at the end. I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong and take heart and wait for the Lord. As David finishes this song, he's confident in God. He's confident in seeing God's goodness. He's confident of being in the land of the living. What does he mean by that? By land of the living, we must naturally think, oh, he must be talking about eternal life. We wouldn't be wrong to think that, but David's not necessarily thinking that. He's thinking about deliverance from his foes, salvation from the enemies, being in God's place with God himself. And are those things not fulfilled in being with God eternally when Jesus comes again? So ultimately, our end goal in the land of the eternal living, we will see in the goodness of the Lord. And this is what David is confident in, and he's desiring. As we saw before, he was so desperate to see God's face and to be in God's presence. As you see in those verses in the middle, how he seeks to be seeking God in his temple. And the time that David wrote this psalm, this song, there was no temple, there was a tent. And later on in David's life, there were plans for a temple. He'd got resource consent. He'd procured a contract for materials from the king of Tyre. He had blueprints there and ready, but he didn't build it. In his day, the temple was not there. But he was confident. He was looking to it because he was speaking about something much greater than what was built. Spoke about being in the goodness of God, in his presence. David was confident in that. He was confident in future glory. A confidence which we see in Jesus. Jesus, who for the joy set before him, endured the cross, suffered its shame. Confident in future glory, confident in resurrection. A confidence that we can have too. We, friends, can be confident in future glory. There is no present trouble that can take away from us the hope that we have in Jesus. We will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Nothing can remove that. So as you think about what you're looking forward to in your future or this year, think about the things which you're excited about in 2024. Well, how much better to be in the land of the living with the Lord, renewed creation, restored relationships, reunion with loved ones, freedom from sin and shame, peace, forgiveness, eternal life. Are we not looking forward to these things? And yet so much more than these things is actually being with God and seeing God himself. He is the goodness of the Lord. He is the one we will delight in. At the Equip conference week that we've just had, in the morning sessions, Costa was speaking. He was speaking on 2 Timothy, and he quoted someone, I forget who said, it's not that I want Christ in order to have heaven, it's that I want heaven in order to have Christ. Jesus is our goal. He is our goodness that we seek, and we can be confident that we will see the goodness of the land of the Lord in the land of the living. And as we are confident in future glory, we are told what we can do. Verse 14, wait for the Lord, be strong and take heart, and wait for the Lord. Great words. Powerful words, beautiful words, words which have full Old Testament heritage, words which were given to Joshua as he was leading the people to enter into the promised land, words which Moses spoke to Joshua at the end of Deuteronomy, and then in Joshua 1, God speaks to Joshua, and the people of Israel speak to Joshua. They all say to the Savior, be strong and courageous, or be strong and take heart. And Joshua was. And now here's this king, this other savior, David, who is taking these words and he's giving them to the people, saying, you, be strong and take heart. As you wait for the Lord. It's not on what you're doing. Your confidence isn't in yourself. Your confidence is in God, and you can be confident. So be strong. Take heart. Wait for the Lord. So will we wait? And what are we waiting for? What we are waiting for primarily will be what will affect our decisions, our choices, influence our lifestyles, occupy our mindset. If you're waiting for something, often it can be that you can't think of anything else and you're making decisions around it. As a church, I mentioned in the notices, we're waiting to get into buildings of our own. As we look forward to that, it changes how we feel about where we are. We look forward to not having to put out chairs. We look forward to having our own space and using it for other things during the week. It influences what we do in the time until then as we prepare ourselves. But we're not without nervousness, are we? We're still worried about how it's going to be and are we going to manage it and look after it rightly and well? What's going to happen in our church as we move into this building? We have great excitement, but there's always nervousness, isn't there? As we look to Jesus, as we look to the land of the living, we have a greater confidence. a confidence without nerves. No need for nervousness. Will it happen or won't it happen? No need for nervousness. What's it going to be like? Will it be good? We can know for certain it will. Jesus is risen from the dead. We can know for certain it will be wonderful. Jesus is our Lord. We can therefore wait with confidence. We can wait strong and taking heart. So will we be confident despite present trouble? Will we be confident in future glory? Confident even if the very worst happens? Because we have a faith which says, well, God is good. Whatever happens, he will keep me safe. I will be with him. Let me pray. Our Father God, we do thank you so much that we can have this great confidence in Jesus, that these words that you have given us can become our words of faith and confidence and fearlessness. We thank you that you are our light and our salvation. You are our stronghold. And we pray that as we trust in you, you might keep us safe. You might be our refuge. Whatever happens this year, whether things of joy or things of sorrow, may our joy be in Jesus, our longing be for him as we seek his face. Help us to be strong and to take heart. Help us to wait for you. And in Jesus' name we ask this. Amen.